everybody, and welcome to the first ever edition of Hawk TV. We are coming to you live from Studio C, or what's it called for the fan?
The press box.
The press box here at the fan, and my first ever guest on Hawk TV is the great Justin Gard. Hi, Justin.
It's an honor to be the first guest. I've never been on TV before. This is exciting.
Welcome to the big time. I've never really spent much time on TV either, and so I decided I'd just make my own television show.
It's very Goodwill Hunting of you. It's very Matt Damon, and you know they couldn't get jobs, so they just wrote a movie they could both be in.
Absolutely.
I'm projecting similar success for you.
I hope so. What do you think of these apples is what I'm going to say to people when they finally find out. Actually, I couldn't get us on TV either. This is just on KFN.com, so take what you can get. But again, the worst produced, lowest budget television show on the internet. And our Ed McManus meat sauce, who's back there. Apparently we both look horny, Justin. He'll be doing that kind of thing all throughout the show. We have a special musical guest in this, our first edition of Hawk TV, a three-segment show. And the first segment, we kind of want to get to know JG, Justin Gard. We kind of want to get to know you. Not only just that you look horny, but also want to get to know you as an individual. We know you on the highly touted, wildly successful Bumper to Bumper with Dan Barrero show. But where were you born?
Have we started?
Yeah, we're on. We're actually on the air right now.
We are.
This is television.
Oh, okay.
This is how it's done in big time television. So get comfortable.
I got it. Yeah.
Get comfortable.
Guys, is this mine?
Absolutely. Okay. It looks like it possibly is. Yeah. Tell me about Gardzi. Where were you born?
I was born at Abbott Northwestern Hospital, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I lived in Minneapolis until I was about seven. And then my parents decided that they wanted to go to the suburbs, so we moved to Edina when I was about 7 years old.
So you truly are a cake eater.
I am, really. Yeah, I grew up, my most formidable moments, you know, were in Edina. So I lived the rough life on the streets of Minneapolis until I was about seven, but then we moved on up.
Brothers and sisters?
Two sisters, yeah. I'm the oldest, so I think one of them's 27 and one of them's 22. So
really?
I paved the way. I got in trouble in high school and in middle school so that my sisters could do stuff that I never got to.
Right, so how old are you, by the way?
I am 29.
You're 29.
Yeah, I'm almost 30. I turned 30 in like 6 months.
So was there the regular things in the Gardzi household where little sister comes along, you beat her up, you didn't like her, and then really little sister comes along, she's the favorite, she gets away with everything?
That's exactly right. It's almost like you've seen the home videos. Yeah, my middle sister and I traumatized her. I like to say I toughened her up.
Right.
I mean, she's probably the toughest of the Gard children because I beat her frequently, you know, physically and emotionally.
Sure.
And then the little one has definitely been babied the whole way. Not an ounce of toughness in the little one.
Right. Probably not going to amount to anything.
No, probably not.
Yeah, probably
not. Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Justin Gard went to what school?
I went to Edina High School.
Edina High School.
Class of 2001.
Really?
Had the 10-year reunion last fall. And reunions these days don't matter because you talk to everybody that you want to talk to anyway. It's so easy now.
Right,
so
exactly.
Basically just an excuse to get drunk with your buddies.
Yeah.
That's what our reunion
was. It
was
a good time.
Yeah, it was fun.
What was it like going to such a wealthy high school?
It was a bit of an arms race. You know, I was kind of an outcast early on because I had a Toyota Camry as my first car.
Lucky.
Yeah. I had a Toyota Camry, 94.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, I loved it. It was great. But I wasn't allowed to park in the main parking lot. I had to park, you know, kind of the auxiliary. It was down the hill. If you're ever on Crosstown 62,
I know
going
exactly
west, and the high school is on your left there, I actually had to park down the hill.
With the help.
Exactly.
With the lunch ladies.
I did,
and
then they'd have like a shuttle bus to come and pick us up. But yeah, so it was a bit of an arms race. I mean, it was nice because it gave me something to shoot for, and I drive a Honda Accord now, so I think I've probably moved up in that aspect.
But now let's talk about the most traumatic part of your childhood. I know right before high school, your mom and dad both died in a car crash.
It was really tough.
Is that not true?
I didn't think we were going to go here.
Actually, I don't think that's true.
No,
actually.
It's not.
Your mom and dad are fine.
They're both alive. Yeah, they're
good.
Both, but for better or worse, they're both alive.
Lunch ladies whale is what he just wrote. And they do.
This whiteboard was a bad idea.
It probably was. But I doubt they can read it. That's why I keep reading it, because he's writing in green, and I'm not sure you can see it. But let me ask you about school lunch at Edina.
Oh, it was great.
Was like sushi and stuff?
It was, you could, I mean, actually, the concept of Seven Steakhouse started in the cafeteria.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
We started it there, and they tested it out on us. And then as we grew up and we got older and got money, then they just brought it to downtown. So, if you ever go to Seven, that started. Fogo de Chao. I know you love that place. That's where the button was always green because those are Edina's colors. So they would just come and slice it, and you could get whatever you want. Yeah, obesity is a problem at Edina High School now. I'm not really sure if the two are connected.
Yeah, right.
But school lunches were okay. Actually, my favorite day was Beefy Nacho Day, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Beefy Nacho Day.
The whiteboard. The whiteboard's coming out now. That was my favorite, Beefy Nacho Day, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Right.
And depending on who was in charge of making the beefy nachos, you knew if it was going to be good or not. There was one of Mrs. Dodge always made really good beefy nachos.
So you knew the lunch lady's name? Oh, yeah. You parked by him.
Yeah, I parked by him. Right. So yeah, we actually ride share. We carpool. So we got to talk about, you know, what we were going to make that day. And she was, yeah, they were brilliant. So
let's talk about the real thing that shaped Justin Gard, though, and that's tennis.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm on the periphery. I'm usually just getting up from my nap when you're on the air. And of course, I was sleeping when you were on with Paul Allen. Super beefy nachos kick ass. They really do.
They do. They will.
Yeah, they really do. But at one point, you became a tennis stud. I don't think there's any other way to put it. When were you introduced to tennis and how?
Well, the first time I was introduced to tennis, I was about 4 years old.
Wow.
And my dad took me out to some lessons. It's Lifetime in Eden Prairie now, but it used to be called Flagship.
Okay.
And I was the only one in the tennis class that didn't have a friend, so I didn't want to play anymore.
Right.
So my dad, I still remember, it's my earliest memory, the tennis pro told my dad that I wasn't ready for lessons yet, and so we peeled out of the Flagship parking lot. Yeah. I remember, and my dad was really upset with me. I'd like to talk to that tennis pro now, though, and ask him who's ready for tennis lessons.
Absolutely.
But that was the first time I was introduced to it.
Okay.
But I didn't really start playing until I was about 9 years old.
Were you immediately good?
I was immediately average.
Right.
And then you kind of learn in Edina how to be good.
No kidding.
And you have like 9 private coaches, and your choice of country clubs to play at, really just by living there.
Sure,
so you're almost forced to be good at tennis.
That
so
makes sense.
Really, it's nothing that I did personally, because you have to be good if you want to be accepted in the community.
You have to be good at something.
You have to be good at something, tennis or golf.
Tennis
and
or golf.
I don't have the patience for golf. Or the pants.
Right.
So I just had shorts.
Right.
Yeah. So
you didn't pants at all.
No. Not depending on who was, you know, if the cheerleaders were there.
Yeah.
But so yeah, tennis was what I had to do, and you know, to make it out of Edina.
Yeah, right. You made it out of
Edina. I'm a survivor. Yeah.
Absolutely. Seriously though, when did you start being good?
About 15, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you won how many state titles?
Two.
You won 2 state titles in tennis.
Junior and senior year of high school.
Wow. So you started being pretty good at 15.
Yeah, probably. That was when things started to go. I had a pretty good coach, couple good coaches at that time, actually, and they kind of got my mind right.
What was the best part of your game?
The best part of my game? Probably that I was, believe it or not, actually a little bit more athletic than most tennis players, because I also played below average point guard for Edina High School's basketball team.
Two-sport athlete.
I was 5'9", so obviously,
what do you
think of basketball player?
That's
when you look at me,
you
think of basketball player.
Yeah.
And so I was actually probably a little bit more athletic than most tennis players,
mm-hmm.
who aren't necessarily always that athletic.
Sure.
So that worked in my favor.
Right. So you go traveling around the country playing tennis?
That was the best part.
Really?
Yeah, you get to see, you know, you go to Florida, you go to Louisiana, California.
On a traveling team or something?
No, just for tournaments, you know, national tournaments.
Right.
I remember going to D.C., South Carolina. Uh-huh. I was pretty lucky.
Right.
You get to see a lot of, like you now, because you're a big shot, you know, country music star.
Yeah,
you get to tour and see all kinds of Rocket Club, if you've heard of them.
Yeah, right.
You get to see all these parts of the country, so.
Hot babes play tennis.
That's actually
Is that very true?
Yes.
And the little skirts.
That's very accurate.
Did you get a lot of action by playing tennis?
It depended on, you know, if I would win or lost.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so at some point during your youth, during the midst of your 2 state titles, did you think you might go pro? Did you think this was how you're going to support yourself, or were you never that good?
I don't think, no. No.
You never believed that?
No, I never believed that.
Really?
Not even
a little part of you thought maybe someday I'm going
to be a
millionaire.
Well, you played – no, I don't think so. That was a long time ago now. I don't remember, really, to be honest with you. And I drank heavily during those times.
Really?
Yeah.
So you didn't
really take it
that seriously?
No. I don't remember if I ever had pro aspirations. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to get a college scholarship. That was kind of the biggest goal.
And that's perfect, because you did go to college. You went to Iowa. Why?
My family was from there. You know, I had been growing up going to Iowa stuff. I really got along well with the coaching staff down there. And, you know, I felt pretty comfortable. I had a good scholarship offer to go down there, and it was fun. I got to play in the Big Ten, and that was kind of the biggest reasons. You know, I felt like they wanted me down there more than some other places, so that's why I went there.
There are other tennis teams in the Big Ten. I've never heard of Big Ten tennis.
There are a couple, yeah, believe it or not. Yeah. They actually, I think, have all 12, because now we have 12 teams. So, yeah, I was it was Minnesota, Wisconsin, or Iowa. Those were my final three, and I decided to be a Hawkeye. Yeah.
Really? And very competitive? Did you do well? I don't know anything about it.
Well, I played a year and a half, and then we'll get later in the interview. I know we'll dive in to the rise before the fall.
The heart broke.
Yeah, basically.
Drugs?
So,
no?
Maybe all, yeah.
Maybe
who
really?
Knows?
All
yeah.
Right.
I know, you know, it's kind of a behind the music here. But,
understood.
Yeah, it was I played my freshman year, you know, which not a lot of freshmen do, so I was in the lineup, got to travel. Yeah, I was about 500 as a freshman, played number one doubles and 4 and 5 singles, and it was a blast. Yeah, I wish I played all 4 years, but
we got time now before we go to our first break. What happened? Why didn't you?
How long do we have?
We have as long as you need, JG.
We don't have a hard break or anything?
I don't think we have any kind of hard anything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, except for meat sauce.
Except for sauce.
Probably does, yeah.
Except for sauce back there.
Uh-huh.
It was a let's just say I lost my way a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I say I lost my way with a couple of things. Yeah, school was bad. Girls were bad. You know, I lost my way a little bit, and I needed to reevaluate, and that's why I ended up leaving after a year and a half.
Now, let's talk about this. Did you leave the university? I mean, you left.
I did, yeah. Packed up, yeah, after semester, sophomore year, December.
I need more details than just things happen.
Bad grades, wasn't doing well in school. Yeah.
Would you classify yourself as a dumbass?
I don't think I'm a dumbass. No, I don't think I am. I mean, I know I've been called that by my family, most importantly.
So you literally had problems in school?
I did. I did. Was not a good student.
Was it the drinking and the staying out late, or did you just not care?
That's a good question. I think it was a combination of all things. I don't think it was the drinking so much.
Right.
I just think it was, I don't know.
I have this theory. Because of some people that I've known who've played major college sports,
mm-hmm.
especially if you start as young as you did playing tennis, I think you probably just get sick of playing tennis after a while, don't you?
You get a little burned out. I think my biggest problem was my whole goals were to win state tournament,
right?
Get a college scholarship.
Yeah, right.
And I didn't have any goals after that.
After that.
After that, I didn't know what to do.
Right.
After that, I said, well, I've already done this. I've got the scholarship. I'm playing, mm-hmm. and I had a hard time setting the next goals and found, you know, finding the right plan to reach those goals.
How long did it take your parents to forgive you for that?
My father still hasn't.
Seriously?
I don't think. We actually don't speak. We haven't spoken.
Haven't spoken.
No, I get a card on Christmas every once in a while. Yeah,
you know, $5 bill.
Well, it just says, don't come home for Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, all seriousness, how long was it tough?
It didn't take that long. I think it was tough on them, but it didn't take that long. No, they were pretty supportive of me.
Well, now I want to know, when we come back from our first break here, what do you do next? You get out of school, you're done, your tennis dreams are over. Somehow you find your way from Iowa to the great KFAN and big time sports radio. So we'll find out more about that when we come back to the first edition ever of Hawk TV with Justin Gard. My name is Chris Hawk. And welcome back to the first ever edition. Thank you very much to the live studio audience. This is the first ever edition of Hawk TV, segment number two. Our first guest, the great Justin Gard of the Bumper to Bumper with Dan Barrero Show. Again, thank you for your time.
You bet. I'm glad to be here. I got a little emotional that first segment. I didn't realize we were going to go so deep.
Well, we're going to cut open more veins here in the second
segment. Oh, good.
And again, stick around for the third segment. We'll have a special musical guest, our own personal Ed McMahon, Meat Sauce, sitting back there with the whiteboard trying to make his comments. We didn't want to give him a mic because we've been encouraged not to do that as much as possible by management. So we're just giving him a whiteboard and a green marker. We're hoping you can keep up with that. When we went to break, we talked about the end of your university career at the University of Iowa, and your ascendance to the throne of KFAN and, at the Dan Barrero Show.
Yep.
Before we ask you about how you got there, what would you say to the 18/19-year-old Justin Gard right now if you as a 29-year-old could go back in time and talk to him?
I would tell him that he needs to value education more.
Is that right?
I would tell him that, you know, just because your high school teacher says, you know, win a state championship and you don't have to turn in this homework assignment, don't listen to him.
Did that really happen?
That may have happened.
Really?
Yeah.
So you got the special treatment.
Well, here's what I will tell you a true story. After I won my second state tennis title, I did go back to take a test that I needed to take because it was right during finals.
Okay.
And I was told, nah, just don't worry about it. It's
really?
Not that big a deal. It's okay.
Ooh.
I won't say who the person was or if it even really happened, but that's in my mind, that's what I heard.
Fascinating.
It may have said, don't worry about taking the test in this room, like go down the hall and take it. But I just said, oh, I'm not going to take it. And I got back in my Camry and left. But
Incredible. Yeah,
but if I could go back, I would tell him to, you know, school is important.
Well, or maybe would you say, keep doing what you're doing because it turned out okay. Look at you. You're a big-time radio guy.
No, I wouldn't go that
far.
No, I mean, I think we're all limited here on this stage.
Yeah,
I think we're all, unfortunately.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exhibit A.
So what happens immediately after you test suck? Yeah.
True.
That is true.
Is there supposed to be an apostrophe?
Who knows?
I don't think so.
I'm
test is not. Sucks doesn't make test. Sense.
So. What do you do after you leave Iowa? Do you come home, do drugs, and get drunk?
I think that's what I did, yeah.
Right.
There was about a 5-year span where I don't remember much, and then I woke up one day and I was on the PA and Dubé show.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. So if you're going to ask me how I figured it out, I all of a sudden I showed up and I was doing morning montages 9 to noon.
Was radio a whim?
No, it was not. Actually, radio was probably the only thing I could do.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was the only thing I ever wanted to do.
Did you go back to school?
I've been to like 4 schools.
Really?
Yeah, I've been
to
about 4 or 5. Yeah, you and I are very similar.
Absolutely.
I think that's why I was the first guest on Hawk TV.
Yeah. Godfather's Pizza Wales.
That's true.
Maybe he's aiming for a sponsorship.
He could. Taco Pizza.
Taco Pizza.
Very
would be
good.
Very
We've talked
good.
About
yeah,
that
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
now,
that.
I've been to like 9 schools, but then I got an internship here in, I think, 2003.
With which show?
I believe I started on the program.
No kidding.
The Common Man program. And I remember being very bitter about it.
No,
I remember.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
That was Common Man, Hartman, and Barrero at the time.
It was.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would do Common, and then I'd do a little bit of Hartman as well.
How did they treat you?
They actually treated me pretty well.
Really?
Well, I remember being very bitter that I was assigned to the program because I, as a 21-year-old, I wanted to be on the PA and Dubé show because they were hip now with it. And wow, that was the show. And no one liked Common. I thought Common was horrible.
Yeah, right.
And so I was like, well, I guess. I mean, if this is the only way I'm going to get into the fan, I'm going to have to suck it up and listen to
so
this idiot.
So it was your favorite station?
Absolutely.
You wanted to work here?
Since it
like
came
the
on the
fans.
Air. Yeah, I grew up listening to the fans. So I have to, you know, if this is the way in, if this is the way they tell me to go, I guess I have to listen to Common talk about nothing for 2 hours every day at that time. And then about a week into it, I realized Common's actually a genius.
He is.
And I should like him. And I was glad that I wasn't on the PA and Dubé. And he let me talk. So that's the key.
Yeah, right.
Because most shows don't let you talk.
No. Nope.
Common's the only. If you want to be an intern, kids, you want to intern on the Common Man program. Because Common doesn't have much. So he'll let anybody talk, really.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty.
And so tell me about the ascendance to becoming an actual on-air person.
Well, I think basically you just hang around when they don't want you to.
That's it.
You just stay here all day.
Yeah.
And then practice stuff. And when something needs to be done, well, who's here? Well, the tennis flame out's here.
Yeah,
the guy that has no life is here.
Right.
He'll go engineer the fan outdoors at Game Fair on a Saturday. He'll totally do that.
Absolutely.
And then you just do that. And then when there's a regular job comes up, you're really on the top of everybody's mind. So that's how you explain it.
Yeah.
You just stay hang around even when you're not supposed to. Kind of like what your co-host does.
Yeah, he wrote I Still Can't Talk.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Sauce is here 20 hours a day.
I'm convinced he lives under the stairs.
He might.
Like on the second floor.
And because he's never at my house, and he's supposed to be one of my roommates.
Right.
And the rent check's clear, but he's never there. So I assume that he does live here somewhere.
I got to believe the amount of toilet paper and dirty tissue.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's got to be gross.
But we had to get a Costco membership just for the toilet paper.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
more on
for
living
the house.
Living with meat sauce later. But so what was your big break?
My big break? That's a great question. My big break probably was working on Sunday Sermons with Dan Barrero.
No kidding.
That was my big break, I think. Because I was, you know, doing Sludge and Lakes, you know, at night. And you know how Sludge is. He's impossible to work
with. Absolutely. Probably didn't want you to talk.
No, and he never let me. You know, because I was too young. You know, he has a history of not letting interns talk because they're too young. I think he might be a year or two older.
Okay, yeah.
But he has a history of just kind of being a power host.
I've been told that, yeah.
And so I was not allowed to really talk on that show. And Lake would all, you know, Lake hangs out at like the W Hotel. And I was like at Al's on Excelsior, you know, that old bar where you could still smoke even after the smoking ban. And so Lake and I didn't have a lot in common. So when I got to work Sunday Sermons with Dan Barrero, that really opened some doors, I think.
And then you got the PA and Dubé show.
And then I was with PA and Dubé. Yeah, my big break was when Abbott got his big break as the program director and got the big cushy office.
You still contend that's the biggest mistake the station ever made?
Putting Abbott in charge?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, it hasn't gone well since then.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's pretty well documented.
What was it like working for, again, I'm with you, I love that show.
Yeah.
I can remember when Jesse went to do his politics thing, and then I think part of the reason I voted for him was so he wouldn't come back, because I love the PA and Dubé show so much.
It was a great show.
It was.
It was fun. It was fun. And just the, like Mondays after a Vikings win, those were the best ever, because PA was all excited, Dubé was all excited, you had the highlights and the calls. Yeah, Mondays, you know, after a Vikings win were probably the best day to do that show. Or if there was something big in Gopher hockey.
Right.
Or if we were on the road doing the Gopher hockey shows, those were always a lot of fun.
Was there a drag to doing the PA and Dubé show at
all? If the Vikings lost.
Yeah, really.
If the Vikings lost.
No, I'm not talking about doing the PA show. I'm talking about doing the PA and Dubé show.
Well, yeah, I guess because Dubé would be so mad about the Vikings losing that it would be entertaining.
And free pizza.
Yeah, that was a good game. You got a lot of free pizza in those days.
Oh,
Mondays.
That?
Yeah, I remember Monday.
What was the place that brought the free pizza?
Tin Shed.
Oh,
Tin Shed Tavern and Pizza. So yeah, and sometimes the salespeople even let us eat it.
Right.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, right.
So that was fun. Now, yeah, there were no drags, really. No.
Okay. Well, the real drag, obviously, is what happened with Dubé. I've been told not to go too deeply into it, but did you have any contact with him at all anymore?
Not particularly. Every once in a while. He still goes to all the games.
Yeah.
So you see him, you know, we see each other around town every once in a while, and he's, you know, still the same guy. Still wears the Gopher jerseys that are too small because his wife shrunk them.
Right, exactly.
You know, so
right.
It's not a lot's changed in that aspect.
Right. So then things got odd, man. Let's be honest. I mean, when it was just Paul Allen by himself, and then you, obviously it was you and PA for a while, things get a little contentious at all ever with that?
Not contentious, no. I mean, it was a tough time for everybody.
Yeah, right.
It was and we were all trying to figure it out on the fly. So, no, it never really got contentious. Or personal, or anything like that.
So that's not why you left, or why you went to.
Why I demanded to be off the Paul Allen.
Is that what happened? Did you put your fist down?
Basically, yeah. I said it's me or him. You know,
really?
Which way is this going?
So they kept him.
They kept him. Yeah, 9 to noon, and so I had to. But I was under contract, so they had to find something for me to do.
Some would say you took a step up, even though you went to the big show on the station, the Bumper.
It was a good move. Yeah, I'm glad that I demanded to be moved off the Paul Allen show.
Yeah,
or just the station in general.
How did it happen?
That's a good question. I don't really remember. I remember our boss coming in one day and saying, I'm either working Barrero or you're working Barrero. Ooh. Which way is it going to go?
Right.
And I want to coach football in the afternoons.
Right.
So you're going to have to take one for the team here.
Well, he's got a reputation, he being Dan Barrero, of being difficult to work with.
Not really.
No?
Well, we all have days. Oof. There's days when I want, you know, when I never want to work for him again.
Mm-hmm.
And there are probably days when he never wants me to work for him again.
Right.
Dan Barrero rules.
Sauce
just worked with him earlier in the week,
yeah,
so he knows.
He's angling for your job.
He is, yeah. Just hang around, baby.
Yeah, there's no.
Well, there's I mean, I think the reputation is well earned and overrated.
Really?
Does that make sense?
Hmm. What's the worst thing that's happened? What has Dan done to you that's horrible?
The worst thing that's happened.
Has he done anything to you?
What has Dan done to
me? You walk out of here cursing his name.
You know, the worst thing Dan has ever done to me is he stirred the pot when I wore an Iowa shirt filling in for him one day, and that got all the Gopher fans all upset.
Yeah, right.
And he stirred the pot there and asked Glenn Mason about it.
Ooh.
Thinking that, you know, Glenn would defend me
right.
when
right.
Glenn wouldn't defend me.
No way.
And then that just got everybody riled up. That one, I was like, why would you do that, Dan?
Was this before or after you got the gig that you had
after.
With the Gophers?
Yeah, it was after.
You wore an Iowa shirt.
Yeah, well, just to work.
You S of a B.
Yeah, apparently that's what I was.
How
so.
Do you do that?
I haven't slept well since then.
I guess not.
But that was, yeah, that was when even Dan felt bad about that
yeah,
one. He
yeah.
said, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that, huh? I'm like, no, you shouldn't have.
You got
really
the Gopher gig
it.
Over me.
I did.
They chose you.
Yeah.
It was the right move. You're very good at it.
Well, thank you.
You're the sideline reporter for the Golden Gopher Football Network.
Right.
Iowa sucks, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt. How much fun was being on the sidelines for Big Ten games?
That was fun.
I bet.
It was a lot of fun.
What was the worst moment of the year?
The worst moment of the year? Well, there's two different categories because when Coach had a seizure, that was – to hear 50,000 people quiet is
Dude,
really eerie.
You did a great job covering that, though.
Well, Mike Grimm did a good job.
Yeah, you both.
You know, Mike knew what to do. Mike's a pro, so
right.
we threw it back up to him, and he handled everything beautifully.
Right.
So and there's categories. That was a tough day for everybody. But losing 58-0 at the Big House at Michigan, where the game was over in like 3.5 minutes, and everyone's trying to figure out what to do next.
Right.
Coaches, players.
Yeah.
Us as the radio
network.
And what
do you talk about when you're on the sidelines?
At one point, we speculated that I should go into the student section and do the wave because that's how little, you know, Coach Kill, I think, would have said I would have gone there too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there was nothing going on in the sidelines. So that was the toughest probably.
What was the best?
The best probably interviewing like Duane Bennett and Ryan Wynn on the field after they beat Iowa when all the students came down and they were crying, and it was very, you know, it was pretty exciting for those guys.
You got the idea listening that you almost could feel like you were part of the team when
Me?
Something like that happens. And not just you, but I think even the broadcast with professional sports is different.
Yeah.
But you can get emotionally involved in college sports. In
free food
way.
Is also good
free
for
food,
the
I'm
Gophers.
Sure, it was very,
yeah,
very
it was
good.
Nice.
Yeah, better with the Vikings, I bet, though.
Yeah, but you get a sandwich right when you come on the plane.
Oh, is that right?
It's really nice.
A good hot sandwich?
Yeah, Philly cheesesteak a lot, sometimes a burger.
Good. Yeah, right.
Lucky.
Yeah, you're talking his language, literally speaking his language. But anyway, you get my point, though. I mean, it's college. Kids are more emotionally involved. On the Vikings plane, sometimes you look around, you're like, I can't believe you're not more depressed about what just happened.
Right.
I would guess the kids get genuinely crying in, you know.
They can,
seats.
The emotion, you feel the emotion a lot more.
So you probably feel that much better when they win.
For better or worse, yeah. And the Illinois game, the last game of the season when they just killed Illinois,
yeah,
that was fun, too, because I think that was the first – game where you could tell the coaches were – things were going exactly how the coaches wanted them to go, and that's how they were used to things going, you know, at Northern Illinois and stuff. And you could just kind of feel that momentum on the sideline. So that was cool.
Looking forward to next year.
I'm looking forward to going to Vegas first weekend. Touché. Labor Day weekend, we'll go out to UNLV. Why not?
Maybe the morning show should broadcast live out there.
I don't think it's the worst idea.
I don't think that'd be a bad idea. I heard some colorful things about the digs that you guys stayed in, though. It's some of these college towns are not always the best.
Well, yeah, that's the difference between college and NFL. Yeah. NFL, they're in nice cities. Besides Green Bay,
right,
where you stay at the Radisson, which isn't bad, in Appleton. That's a good place, right? We had some interesting ones. Well, I was spoiled because the first time, first road trip.
No, you can't go to Vegas.
No, definitely
itself.
Not.
No, you can't afford it.
You can drive. You can go yourself.
Yeah.
We stayed at the Omni in downtown Los Angeles for the USC game, and you can imagine that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
But then when you're at the Best Western in West Lafayette, you start to wonder, you know, where did I go wrong?
Exactly.
Yeah, where did I go wrong? But they do a pretty good job of finding nice hotels for us. I think the Best Western in West Lafayette, it wasn't even that bad. It's just funny to say the Best Western in West Lafayette.
Right. Do you think that you could continue doing what you're doing now for a greater pay, obviously?
But as huge far as raise.
With Dan Barrera and doing Gopher football sideline stuff for a long time.
I would hope so, yeah.
So do you feel comfortable with doing?
I feel pretty good, yeah. I think we're doing okay.
It's the dream job, right?
It's a pretty good gig.
In a lot of ways, it's pretty
good. I can't complain.
Beats digging ditches.
It does.
Absolutely.
It beats working for a living.
Justin Gard, again, my first guest on Hawk TV. My name is Chris Hockey. We're going to break one more time, and we'll come back with our musical guest and something I call quick questions.
Quick questions.
Yeah, so you got to be prepared for these. I'm going to zing them at you.
Is this like Inside the Actor Studio?
Exactly. I stole a lot of the questions from Inside the Actor Studio and some from Men's Journal magazine. So we'll break and come right back to Hawk TV, the premiere episode of our little show. We're hoping to be picked up by a major network. So if you're out there and you're a programmer, Disney, somebody like that, John Disney, whoever, and you want to pick up the show, please contact AJ Mansour, the fine engineer producer of this television show. Justin Gard, my first guest ever once again, and meets us back there with his whiteboard. We'll have our musical guest in a second, but quickly, quick questions.
Quick questions.
This is the final segment of the show. Quick questions.
Quick questions.
Fire off. It's going to really reveal a lot about who you are.
Okay.
Okay. First quick question. What's the best advice you ever received?
Winners listen.
Ooh.
That's deep.
That's who told you that?
An old national tennis coach guy. He gave a talk and he said, winners listen. And it stuck with me. I was 14.
Hmm.
And I don't listen, so I didn't follow the advice.
Right.
But I do know that listening's important.
I think one of the best things you can do as a radio host, a radio person, I think Dan Barrera does it very well, is listen to the answer of the question you ask. Too many people have the next question prepared and never listen to the answer.
Exactly. Or when you're doing a bit, you know, listen to what's going around you on the show. I think that's very important.
He just wrote, winners do what? Next quick question. Who's the toughest guy you know?
The toughest guy I know.
Toughest guy you know.
I'm going to take a page out of the meat sauce book. I think Chad Abbott's the toughest person that I know.
No kidding.
Yeah, oh, God, he's a tough SOB. He's very tough.
Yeah. I was going to say Greg Swedberg.
Swedberg's pretty – might crush him.
Very tough.
Probably.
Crush him, has guns like
– It's not the crusher like, for no reason.
Exactly. It's
no.
Unbelievable. Have you ever cheated death?
I think allowing meat sauce into my home
Touché.
Is probably the closest.
Yeah, right.
Letting him live. Literally, we share a wall.
Have you seen him naked yet?
I don't think so.
You know that day's coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be an accident, or at least we'll appear
I just want to know. I just want
to
know, is he going to go lucky or yeah? I just want to know which meat sauce robot bit he's going to do.
I'm just
going
to guess.
I just hope it's not go see it or daddy's enjoying this.
I'm going to guess he's going to be so embarrassed because.
Yeah.
Just it's my guess.
Obvious.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, it's you can judge the endowment of a man by his baby teeth.
There's, is that right?
That's what I think. I think that's right.
Does he even have a toothbrush?
I haven't seen one.
I don't think he does.
We have no toilet paper and no toothbrushes in the bathroom.
Justin Gard, what's one skill every man should have?
You have to be able to fix stuff.
Ooh. Can you fix stuff?
Absolutely not.
No, so
I can't fix
skill.
Anything. My girlfriend actually fixes stuff around the house.
Right,
it's the best.
Do you want to throw a shout out to your girlfriend?
Hi, honey.
What's
Thanks for
name?
Fixing stuff, Jenny.
She pretty?
She's pretty. She's way pretty. Hotter than me.
She's very pretty.
Yeah,
she
is.
Is this the one?
I think so, yeah. Well, she can fix stuff.
That's a great point.
Yeah, so I kind of need her around, to be honest with you. If I get a flat tire or something,
maybe,
I can't fix it.
When you're ready to pop the old question, you do it right here on Hawk TV.
I do that, or just on the radio.
On
if
the radio.
She's the 11th caller, then she could. Then we'll get
Perfect.
Married. Yeah.
Let's see, Justin Gard. What's the worst pain you've ever felt?
Emotional or physical?
Either one.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Man, And this is supposed to be a quick question.
It's, well, you take your time, I guess.
The worst pain I've ever felt. Yeah. Well, I cracked my head open when I was 2 years old, going down the slide.
Do you remember that, though?
I do.
Really?
Because I remember I was with my grandma, and I remember we had to go to the emergency room, and I had to get stitches. I still have the scar right here on my forehead. I can't remember which side.
It's right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right there.
I went down the slide, you know, kind of facing the wrong way, and then I hit the bottom, and my head cracked. Right. You know, the parks weren't as safe as they used to, as they are now.
They didn't care.
Yeah, there's kids. You could do whatever you wanted on the park. Mm-hmm. And now you've got all these nets, and everyone's worried about kids. Back then, especially in Minneapolis, they didn't care what was going on. I mean, they'd have you like 400 feet up in the air on the monkey bars.
Right.
But, yeah, I cracked my head open. So I think that's probably the worst pain I've ever felt.
Is that the biggest scar you've got? Because I was going to ask you to have a scar that tells a story.
No, that's it. That's I think this is the only one.
I have a perfect body other than that.
Yeah, perfect.
Are you a hairy individual?
Yeah, it's
are you really?
Well, I thought I was until...
Until you met me.
Until he moved in.
Yeah, he is a Yeti. What is your greatest fear?
Working on the Power Trip Morning Show.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be scary.
That'd be really tough.
No, you know, that there are positives and negatives.
Yeah.
But outside of KFAN.
I would say, well, apparently we're not keeping his interest.
Probably not.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of heights.
Are you really?
Yeah, I think I'm afraid of heights.
Do you ride roller coasters and the
Well, I
kind of
do.
All that stuff?
I've started to. I did Space Mountain a couple of weeks ago. Ooh, and, yeah. I mean, that was fine.
Right.
You know, I don't know, but I don't like heights, I don't think.
Right.
They scare me. Hmm. Not being in control.
Right. Before I get to my last question, I have to ask you, how did the Miami Half Marathon go for you?
Well, I'm here. I'm here talking about it, so that was good.
You love running all this
time. I don't.
No, really?
No,
why
I
do
don't.
It then?
Because my girlfriend runs. Oh, and I have
you love your girlfriend.
Right, and I have to... if I want to go on these trips that she goes on to run full marathons, I have to do something.
Right.
Or she won't let me go.
Would you encourage people to start running, honestly?
It's fun. Yeah, it's good. It's fun to finish. It is. It's fun. I will say this. The finish line is the best part.
There's nothing better.
And then you get the medal, and then you're like, what the hell did I just do?
When are you going to do a full marathon?
I'm not.
You really won't
do it?
No,
I don't think I'm going to.
Really?
Well, unless I got into New York, because you did New York. That was pretty cool, right?
It was unbelievable. I'll never forget.
You like that? If I won the lottery and got into New York, I would consider doing that one. Mm-hmm. But the whole marathon is my girlfriend's thing. You know, let her do that. I'll be the big-time radio star. I'll be the former state tennis champion.
Right.
And I'll play tennis.
That makes sense.
And she can be the runner.
What's her best time in a marathon, do you know?
3:37.
That's unbelievably
I believe.
Fast.
Qualified for Boston.
Even imagine.
So she's doing Boston for
she's
the second
Boston.
Time. Yeah, we went out to Boston. I did the 5K. In about 27 minutes. So.
Good for you. That's a good time.
It's no big
in the
deal.
5K.
It might have been 29 question. Minutes. I can't remember.
Final quick question for Justin Card here on Hawk TV, and then we'll throw it to our musical guest. What is one thing that you really feel like you want to do before you die?
I want to go to Wimbledon, probably.
Really?
I need to go to Wimbledon. Yeah, I think so.
Tennis is fascinating to me, man.
Why is that?
It seems like the last sport where... the stars are still really revered by the fans.
You think so?
Yeah, because LeBron James, everybody hates him.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods, everybody hates him.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, there are haters, even with Tom Brady, who seems so cool. Tim Tebow, he's done nothing wrong to anybody ever, and people hate him. But I listened to, after the Australian Open the other day, the crowd just going crazy for both the winner and the loser. And that makes me feel good, man, I got to tell you.
Well, I bet it's the same for tennis and soccer in that – niche fans, we have to stick together.
Yeah, right.
Because no one else really cares, right, about tennis or soccer.
Yeah.
Except the people that do really care about it. And so they probably feel like they've got a prop there. Because soccer guys are the same.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some people hate soccer players.
They stab each other sometimes.
They do. And if you go to a match, you could possibly
you could
be killed by a fan of the same team.
Yeah, for sure.
Even.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're not, you know, blowing the vuvuzela as well as you should be. But I think we have to stick together because if we don't support our guys,
right.
who will?
Well,
but speaking, you're right, yeah.
Speaking of blowing the vuvuzela, our special musical guest is coming up right now, our first ever musical guest. We'd like to welcome to the show, singing his rendition of the cattle song, Paul Lambert.
The cattle are prowling, the coyotes are hauling way out where the doggies bowl. Where spurs are a-jingling, a cowboy's a-singing this lonesome cattle call. He rides in the sun till his day work is done, and he rounds up the cattle each fall. Woo, 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 singing his cattle call. For hours he'll ride on the rain. stranger far and wide when the night winds blow up a scrawl. His heart's a feather and all kinds of weather, he sings his cattle call. Woo, woo. He's brown as a berry from riding the prairie, and he sings with that old western drawl. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, singing his cattle call.
Well, it looks like we've won episode into Hawk TV, lost our Ed McMahon meat sauce, who was also our special musical guest today, Paul Lambert. Congratulations, Paul, and good luck on the rest of your career. Justin Gard, it's been great getting to know you here on the first episode of Hawk TV. Thank you for being my guest.
I appreciate it, and I'm sorry that Sauce quit. I thought it was a nice mixture, the three of us. I thought everything was working well. But
I'm thinking maybe Meat Sauce Robot will sit in that chair next time around. Once again, thank you for tuning into the first edition of Hawk TV. Please tune in next week when we have a guest that we aren't sure of quite yet. Somebody else we can talk into sitting in that chair for about a half hour. Thank you for checking out KFN.com. My name is Chris Hockey. We'll talk to you next time on Hawk TV.